Working to cleanse my guilt and pride. Blood of Christ the crucified.
Unleavened Bread Ministries presents
From your hands, your feet, your side.
Unleavened Bread Bible Studies with David Eales.
Can quench my thirsting soul. Purest water made me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow, O Jesus. I trust in you.
The life is in the Son. And if the Son is in you, then you have the life, right? And if you abide in the Son, then you have the life. Okay? So it's very simple. We abide in Him first through faith. We accept this free gift of His life, His nature, and it begins to flow to us. And as long as we walk by faith, it continues to flow to us, you know. And He continues to manifest His life in us. And I've shared with you so many times, you know, of the gospel that the Lord has shared with me. I'll just read a little something here to you. It's 2 Corinthians 3:18. You probably know it by heart by now because it's one of my favorite verses because the whole gospel is there. He says, But we all, with an unveiled face, behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed into that same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. So we behold in a mirror. That's a gift. You know, you look in a mirror and you see your natural self normally. But the Bible tells us, no, that's not the way to be transformed into His glory. We behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord. In saying, of course, that it's no longer we that live, it's Christ who lives in us. We accept this free gift, not on account of our works, but on account of His works. Okay, we accept this free gift. And it's not only a confession, it's an imagination, you know, because He says very plainly we're transformed into the same image. It's important that we have the image of the true Christ, right? There are many people being transformed into an image of a Christ that's not the true Christ. Many. They've let religion tell them what the image of Christ is. They've let religion define who Christ is, what He will do, what He thinks, what's okay with Him and what's not okay with Him, and so on. But, of course, that's the only way we can get that image is through the Scriptures. It's the only thing that's been passed on to us that we know is of God and can prove is of God. And the rest of it is, you know, men change from day to day, much less generation to generation. So you can't trust anything that's been passed on down to you through religions. They all went astray, every last one of them. And they are today. But we can trust the Word. And He says this is an image. And it's an imagination, you know. We begin to be transformed when we accept the Word of God. The Bible says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So we believe with our heart and we confess with our mouth. And of course, what? What is it? Well, we believe and confess the good news. That Jesus gave His life for us, and that we don't live anymore, He lives in us. And those of you who were baptized, what you said then was, when I go down in this water, the old me is dead, and when I come up, I have the resurrection life of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, as He is, even so are we in this world. That's a good confession. It's a good confession that we need to give in the front of witnesses, you know, that Jesus has come in us. By His grace. And of course we know that if you go on down in chapter 4 of this 2 Corinthians, it says in verse 6, it says, seeing it is God that said light shall shine out of darkness. Well, that's that glory of the Lord being manifested in that old life of yours. And that's the inner man coming forth, being renewed day by day. And the outer man dying, you know, as the outer man is decaying, verse 16 says, the inner man is renewed day by day. So, as we behold the Lord in the mirror and accept this free gift, the Lord begins to empower us. The power comes because of our faith. Okay? The gospel is the power of God to save the one that believes it. And this is the gospel, that the Lord Jesus has given you His life. You can't, like Sonny found out, you can't pick yourself up by your bootstraps. It has to be from the inside out that God does this. But it's His work. You're bound by your own nature, not to do anything more than what your nature is. You need a new nature. It has to be a gift from God. Nobody can create themselves a new nature. It's not possible. Nobody can save themselves. It's never been done. But the Lord has given us this. So he said, light shall shine out of darkness, who shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. This light shining out of our heart is the glory of God, the very nature of God himself in the face of Jesus Christ. As long as we behold the face of Jesus Christ, not another, but the face of Jesus Christ. Don't let religion tell you who Jesus is. You go find out for yourself. Don't trust them. They can't be trusted. Okay. And in verse 7 says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. That is what? The first fruits of that glory. The first fruits of that word that's been sown in our heart, the gospel. The first fruits of a new spirit that God gave us. God has sown a seed in us that has within it everything that's necessary for Christ to live in you. Everything that's necessary, you see. So, he says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. So the vessel is weak, has no power to bring this to pass whatsoever. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the exceeding greatness of the power may be of God and not of ourselves. This is God's plan from the beginning. You cannot save yourself. You are at the mercy of God. You can trust in his grace and he will do it. And then we're told again, a little further down, that we're always, verse 10, always bearing about in the body the dying of Jesus. That's the outer man, the old man dying, so that the life also of Jesus may be manifested in our body. If we're not going to permit the death of the old man, we're not going to see the life of the new man. You see? So we bear about in the body the dying of Jesus. This can entail much trouble because your outer man and your inner man are at war, and they're contrary. And it can entail confusion. But you have to trust God all the way through it, you see. And so we bear about in the body the dying of Jesus. We're being crucified as Christ was crucified. And this is necessary. This crucifixion is necessary. The old man has to die that the new man can have life. And always bearing about in the dying in the body the dying of Jesus, so the life also of Jesus may be manifested in our body. The life of Jesus. That is the life of the real, true Jesus. God wants it manifested in our bodies. That's his plan, and he's going to have his plan. It's going to be fulfilled. And some of you are rejoicing because you know that. And some of you probably don't believe that's even possible. But you see, that's where you've got to give up on religion. You're going to have to accept only what the Bible says. So that the life also of Jesus may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. So that the life also of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. And that is, of course, this body that we're living in now. The lie of religion is, oh, you just accept Jesus and one day you'll be like him, you know. But, oh, no, it's a mortal flesh that the Lord wants to manifest his life in. And that means all of his life, not a piece of his life, all of his life. That you may be filled unto all the fullness of God, Ephesians says. I mean, this is God's plan for us. Let me read that to you. It says in verse chapter 3, in verse 14, it says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, that you may be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inward man. There it is right there. That's where the power comes from. It doesn't come from us. It comes from faith. Faith entitles us to the power of God. Okay, through his Spirit in the inward man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. So that Christ, see, some people say you accepted Jesus, well, Christ is in your heart. Well, partially. I mean, you received the Spirit of Christ, which is a born-again spirit. But it says here, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. You continue to hold fast the faith for all of Jesus. Not just his spirit, but his soul. The life of the flesh is in the blood. The word life there is the word soul. Same word. The life of the flesh is in the blood. so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, to the end that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be strong to apprehend. You know, some translators tried to talk us out of this because of their feeble doctrine and put comprehend in the place of apprehend. It's not comprehend. He wants us to apprehend. And apprehend what? Well, he said apprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the height, the depth, and to know the love of Christ. Wow, that's awesome. God wants to give us all of that through our faith, and he wants us to apprehend it. And, of course, religion has talked us out of it for many, many years. 2,000 years falling away because men trusted in men rather than God. And verse 19 says, to know the love of Christ, which passes all knowledge, that you may be filled unto all the fullness of God. That's what we want. That's what we desire. We shouldn't settle for anything less than the fullness of God, the manifestation of Christ in us. And, of course, there's many people that will make war on you if you profess such a thing. You know, but you can see it comes right out of the Word of God. And, you know, whatever you lack, what you see in the mirror is the answer. You know, whatever you lack, what the Word of God, who is Jesus Christ, who is the one in the mirror, has been promised to you. And so whatever you lack, just see that in the mirror. Because you know Christ doesn't lack anything. You know, he was the express image of the Father, was he not? He lacks nothing. You mean God is able to perfect us? Well, yeah, as a matter of fact. I should have read a little bit more in Ephesians 4. It says, I'll read that to you. And he gave some to be apostles and some prophets, some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. Well, obviously the church has departed from the norm here, and they've gone to the Nicolaitan error of the pastor being the head of the church, but you can't find that in the book. We've got the fivefold ministry that is used of the Father, used of the Lord, to give us a well-rounded understanding of who Christ is, so that the one we look at in the mirror is the real Jesus. And, of course, they've got no right to teach anything but the Word. So, for the perfecting of the saints, unto the work of ministering, unto the building up of the body of Christ, till we all attain unto the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a full-grown man. That's the same word for perfect, too, by the way. Unto a full-grown man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. There it is again, the fullness of Christ. That you may be no longer children, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and craftiness after the wiles of error. Glory to God. We're believing for the fullness of Christ. Glory to God. This is an awesome revelation from God, and it will bring power in your life, you know. Don't settle for less, because God's people are not going to settle for less in these days. They're going to walk in the steps of Jesus just like in the early church, those apostles who were being molded into the image of Christ through their faith and went out to do the mighty works of Jesus and manifest his fruit and to pass on that seed to the rest of the church. Well, I was encouraged. I've been teaching this for a long time, and I received, a brother sent me a prophecy by a guy named Gary Carpenter. Well, I shouldn't say by a guy. The prophecy came from the Lord, but God used a guy named Gary Carpenter to share this. And I want to share it with you because it's very encouraging to help you to... I mean, it's a little repetitive, but it sometimes we have to be to get it through our thick skulls, you know, that the Lord is offering to us everything that Jesus is, even as he is, so are we in this world. Notice it says, in this world. The apostate doctrine is that you can't hope for that in this world. You have to get that in the next world. Well, if you don't get it in this world, you're not going to get it. That's a deception. That's a lying devil there, you see. So listen to this prophecy. It's on our site. It's called Jesus Is in the Mirror. Is in the Mirror. That's what we put it as. The original name was None Diminished. That was the original name on the prophecy. But I think that's there too. Listen to this. Now you perceive my wisdom in providing you with the image of him who is to fill your hope. Allow no image provided by religion. Permit no image diminished by the reasonings of man. Receive the image I have provided for you, for it is into that likeness that my spirit shall conform you. So we shouldn't allow any man to dictate to us what is the image of Christ. We have to find that out for ourselves. And we have to find it out through the Word. And we have to find it out through the Lord's revelation given to us through the Word. We shouldn't trust in man. It's very important because the image is what has the power to recreate. You see, I'm going to read to you from Vine's Expository Dictionary. The word image, you know, Christ was called the express image, the very image of his substance in Hebrews 1 and 3. Okay? The word image here is the word character. And it's like a notary stamp. It's like a typewriter key. It's a character. It's a character that recreates its own image on paper or other things. Okay? Mainly, we're talking about an image that recreates an image. Jesus is the image of God that recreates the image of God in his people. The very same thing. Now, you take the notary's stamp, you know, you can look at the face of the stamp, and when you crimp it onto the paper, well, it's the exact same image. It's not another image. Well, that's exactly what Jesus came to be, God's tool. You know, a character is a tool for recreating itself. Jesus is the tool that God sent to recreate himself in mankind. So let me read this about character here. It denotes, firstly, a tool for graving. It comes from the word carasso, to cut into, to engross. The English word is character, characteristic. It's also a stamp or an impress. That's kind of like a typewriter key or a notary stamp, right? As on a coin or a seal, in which case the seal or die, which makes an impression, bears the image produced by it, and vice versa. All the features of the image correspond respectively with those of the instrument producing it, and that instrument is Christ, Jesus Christ, right? In the New Testament, it's used metaphorically in Hebrews 1 and 3 of the Son of God as the very image, or the word can be also impress, of his substance. And that's in the RV or the ASV, okay? So that's what we're talking about, that image. You have to be careful about what image you see in the mirror, because there are many people, many religious people, who are formed into the very image of their religion. And they have the same characteristics of what they think Christ is like. And they're wrong. What they have there is Antichrist, right? If you're not for me, you're against me, Jesus said. That's Antichrist. Be careful. Religion is famous for manifesting Antichrist. It's the son of perdition in the temple of God. That's what it is, you see. So let me read on here. This prophecy, it says, none diminished is the word I am imparting to your spirit this day, says the Lord. None diminished is my plan. None diminished is my will. None diminished from the image I provided. In other words, don't take any less than what God has provided for you. He gave you a new body and a new blood. He told you, except you eat my body and drink my blood, you have no life in you. We do that through the Word of God, through the promises of the Lord. This is the plan of the Father, he goes on. As you behold the glory of him whom I have sent, as you behold that image I have provided to fill your hope, you are changed into that same image, that same hope, that same likeness by the seed of him who was planted within you. And the seed, of course, we know is the Word of God, that new spirit that you received, which Romans 8 calls the Spirit of Christ. You know, when you have this new life first enters into you, that spirit that enters into you is the Spirit of Christ. It's been recreated in you by the Holy Spirit because of your faith. And along with that is the Word that you have planted in there. The Word, Jesus said, the words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. God is imparting His life to us through His Word. Many people, they receive that new spirit. They don't feed it. They continue on in religion. They continue not to feed it. And it dies. And they become twice dead and plucked up by the roots. Like anything else, it needs to be fed. The new man needs to be fed. The old man's, it's easy. We know how to feed the old man. I mean, but the new man needs to be fed. He's a spiritual being. He needs spiritual food. That's the Word of God. So you feed him if you want him to grow and conquer the old man. If you don't, you feed the old man and you become twice dead, plucked up by the roots. So we have to make sure that we're accepting only the likeness that's by the seed of him who was planted within you. Right? None diminished, I say again. None diminished. Take nothing less, in other words. Take nothing less than what the Lord provided for you. We become familiar with Him through the Word of God. He is, John 1 and 1, the Word of God. Jesus is the Word of God. How are you going to know Him? By the Word of God. Don't trust anybody to tell you what the Word of God is. You go find out for yourself. Right? None diminished. Don't take any less than the Jesus of the Bible. Many people have reasons why they think Jesus is not the same today as He always was. And so their religion traps them into accepting a lesser Jesus, right? Another Jesus, as Paul called Him, right? None diminished. This is my plan. This is my purpose. Receive not the counsel, nor the religion, nor the vain speaking of men who would oppose my will. I counsel you this day to incorporate hope with all your speaking. See, there has to be more than just confession. You know, the prosperity folks have just taught us to confess, confess, confess. You know, but if you don't believe in your heart and confess, these two have to work together, right? Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. They have to work together. So you have to. There's some things that you can do in your heart that will help your confession, that will cooperate with your confession, right? And that is that where that hope comes in. The biblical word for hope, by the way, just means a firm expectation. It's an expectation of things to come. Do you expect Christ to come in you? If you don't, you have the doctrine of Antichrist. And it probably came right over the pulpit that you're used to sitting under, right? The doctrine of Antichrist is that Christ is not coming in the flesh. That's a lie. And the truth is, He is coming in you as long as you're holding fast to the true gospel. So He tells you here, incorporate hope with your speaking. Truly I have spoken unto you. These things only come by the saying, but where there is no vision, my people shall surely perish. What vision is He talking about? Now He's talking about, again, a vision within you, in your imagination, as we just looked at 2 Corinthians 3 and 18. We see this imagination. We accept in our thoughts, in our heart, that this thing is done, that Christ now lives in us. Anything you lack, folks, just remember, Jesus doesn't lack. And now, your lack has been done away with because the Lord Jesus has given you His life, His provision. What lack you received through your natural parents has been done away with by the great gift of life that was given to you through Jesus Christ. The life of the flesh is in the blood. Where there's no vision, my people shall surely perish. In other words, you can have just a confession that really is not in your heart, and it won't bring forth any fruit. People try it all the time. The prosperity folks, a lot of them try it, and they find it doesn't work. So what the Lord wants you to do is imagine in your heart that this thing is done. Take it within your hope that this thing is accomplished, right? He says the saying apart from the vision is as futile as the vision apart from the saying. Both are required, says the Lord. I counsel you to step higher than religion. I counsel you to step higher than the ways of man. I counsel you to step above the darkened reasonings of those who speak as leaders of my people. I counsel you to receive the simple truth that I have sent in Jesus Christ. He is the image. He is the character, right? He is the image provided for all men to be conformed to. Exactly so. And the Lord Himself is the one who will conform us to His image. What He expects of us is faith, right? Faith in exactly what we're studying here, which is the real true gospel. He said, I intend for them to be conformed to that image. Now, a lot of people don't understand that. This is God's plan. This is God's plan. He is going to have his will. The only question is it going to be fulfilled through you? But it will be fulfilled. He will have his elect. He will have his chosen manifested in the image of Christ. It will happen. And if you believe it, it will happen for you. Especially in these days when God is once again restoring the true gospel and the revelation of Christ in you, the hope of glory, right? I intend for them to be conformed to that image, none diminished, none diminished, none diminished, says the Spirit of your Father. His life, the life of Christ in fullness, is the land of promise, which I have given unto my children. Remember, we've talked about the land of promise. You know that the Israelites, who were the spiritual man, went in to make it their land, right? They went in to plant their crops there and bear their fruit there and take that land away from the carnal man, the Canaanite, who represents the fruit of the flesh, right? So, and what is taking over that promised land? It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The spiritual man, by the way, is none other than Jesus Christ in you. He, like we said, it's first receiving his Spirit. Then as you continue to walk by faith, he manifests in your soul. And then ultimately he gives you a new body. And who is that? Christ in you. No one hath ascended into heaven, but he that descended out of heaven. Christ in you, right? The hope of glory. There is no hope of glory outside of Christ in you. So he says the life of Christ in fullness is the land of promise, which I have given unto my children. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread, to appropriate that life in its fullness as your own, I will surely give it unto you. Now, we've studied that too from the story of first chapter of Joshua there, how that's what they were told, how to have good success. You know, it says, first of all, don't let this word of the kingdom depart out of your mouth, right? And you'll have good success. And every place you put the sole of your foot, I will give it to you, right? In other words, every word that you stand on concerning who Christ is and what's been given to you, God's going to fulfill it in you, right? That's what he says. His life, in its fullness, is your inheritance. Exactly so. The fullness of Christ, as we just read in Ephesians, is our inheritance. If we settle for less, we'll have less. But we don't dare do that in these days, especially in these days. We want to manifest the fullness of Christ, the fullness of his fruit in us, right? Receive the abundance of this grace. Receive it as your own. Possess it as your land to be inherited. Receive the abundance of this grace, which I have provided for my children. Receive the abundance of his righteousness, for it is truly yours. God has given it to us. No longer do we magnify our failure, our foolishness, our sin. We magnify the gift that was given unto us. That's why Paul said, you know, it's no longer I that live, it's Christ that lives in me. A confession of faith. The good confession. The confession of the gospel. If we continue to magnify what we aren't, well, then we're not really going to receive what God's given us. And it's all right to say, to glory in your weaknesses as far as your own flesh, as long as you magnify the Lord as the gift that's given unto you, right? Without him, we can do nothing. We, meaning the old man. See, because God wants to receive all the credit. It's not by our works, it's by his grace. The prophecy goes on. He says, all that I have given him, the Holy Spirit shall show unto you, as being your inheritance to possess. That's right. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit shall take of mine and declare it unto you. Why is that? Because we need to know what the image of Christ is, right? The Holy Spirit reveals to us the true image of Christ, if we're interested. Now, some people are quite happy with religion, but the Lord says don't settle for that. He will lead you step by step. He will go before you and drive your enemies out from before your face, and you shall inherit the very life of Christ in fullness, says the Lord. Exactly so. When they went into that promised land, the Lord went before them and drove their enemies out. Right? And they did what? They took the edge of the sword and they put to death their enemies. Anytime you see the old man, anytime he's flushed out because of the trials and tribulations that you go through, just remember, use the word of God on him. Right? The Lord said, "This is my plan. For this purpose, I provided the image that you are to be changed into. For this purpose, I sent him, who is the express image of myself, that you may see the land before you and possess it as your own." Praise the Lord. That's God's inheritance for us, folks. For it is yours as a gift. It is yours by inheritance. It is yours to possess by my Spirit, says the Lord. By my Spirit, it shall be yours. Well, you know, sometimes we think, that's too good to be true. God's just going to give it to me. Certainly I have to do something, you know. Well, you can use the gift that God's given unto you, which is your faith, right? He's given to every man the measure of faith. And then again, of course, Paul said, on the other hand, be careful because all have not faith. Meaning, of course, that there are some Christians that don't have faith because they're Christian in name only. But there's also Christians that do have faith. We've been given the measure of faith to bear fruit with, right? So be careful of those other people. They're that mixed multitude that went into the wilderness with the Israelites, right? He says, "For I have already given you this land. The work has already been accomplished in him. The only thing remaining is for you to possess it by faith." Faith, of course, calls the things that be not as though they were. We possess it because God says we do. Not because we feel it, not because we see it in the natural mirror, but because we see it in the mirror of the imagination of our heart. We accept it because God says it, and we begin to see it that the way God says it, right? "But as I am teaching you in this day, first you must fill your hope with the image of him whom I have provided." Well, what is it to fill your hope with the image of Christ? Remember, this is the gift to you. Wherever you lack, wherever you sin, he is the opposite. He has been given to you to replace the old man, the sinful man. And where you lack, you know, of anointing, of power, of holiness, he has been given to you to replace all of the old man. So fill your hope with that image. Think it not impossible. Think no longer these things are impossible. Think no longer this is not my plan, for it is my plan. It is my plan to repopulate the earth with sons who walk as him and talk as him and act as him, who have the same results that he had. This is my will, says the Spirit of your Father. And, of course, crucified as him. You know, if you don't lose your life, you won't gain your life. So God makes that possible, too. You know, he has given us the crucified life freely, you see. And so there's some people overemphasize the fact that we must die. But you should emphasize, again, what Romans 6 says. Reckon yourself to be dead. You see, that's how the free gift comes. It's true, we must die, but what is the means to the end? The means to the end is faith. Reckon yourself to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God. Right? And the prophecy goes on. He says, "You will learn, as did those of old, that the battle is not yours, but the Lord's. It is by my Spirit that the transformation is accomplished. For man's efforts are vain and futile to bring forth the life of Christ." And our carnal reasoning is also futile to bring forth the life of Christ. The Word will bring forth the effect that the Lord sent it to do, right? That's what he says. "The instructions I give are easy for man to do." Some people think it's hard. It's hard. Well, it's only hard because you're trying to do it, you see. But God says his instructions are easy. Jesus said, "My yoke is easy," right? The instructions that I give are easy for man to do. First, son, fill your hope with the image of him whom I have provided. Get an image of who Jesus is. That's an image of who you are. Get an image of who Jesus is, and remember, you're looking in the mirror and you're accepting that is your life, you see. See that life in fullness in you. See it, son. This is my plan. This is my gift unto you. It is my gift to my children. His life imparted free by grace to you. Praise the Lord. Awesome good news, isn't it? I say again, have possessive hope. Hope that sees his life as your own. For without him, you can do nothing. His life has been given freely by my grace. I have imparted that same life into you. You know, just as the Bible says, as in Adam all died, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. You know, as we abide in him through our faith, we were born first of the natural creation, Adam, which is all of our problems, right? Because when Adam fell, all of his seed fell too. I mean, when he sinned, he brought sin upon all mankind that was in his loins, right? Well, in the same way, when Christ was resurrected, we were resurrected. When he received the completeness of heavenly life, we received it too. As in Adam all died, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. See it as your own, the prophecy said. Every attribute of his, see it as your own. See yourself as beholding him in a mirror of your own life. Amen. As you behold him, as in a mirror, the mystery of Christ in you is brought forward by the power of my Spirit and not your labor. Amen. It is God's gift to us to work his desire in us, his will, his holiness, his righteousness, his power, his anointing, all these things. It is his gift to us. It's nothing we can do in ourselves, nor can we take any credit for it, because God's chosen a method whereby we can't claim any credit for it, right? He said your labor is to see him, to behold him, to possess him in your hope, to hold that image and not be swayed by religion nor the doctrines of men who claim these things are not my mind. Remember, he said this was easy. I mean, it does sound too good to be true, doesn't it? That the Lord would give us this so freely. See him, behold him, possess him, know him, love him, receive him. He is your life. His life is your inheritance in all of its fullness, says the Spirit of your Father. Then partake by saying. In other words, see it as done and partake by saying it. Be as Abraham of old, who spoke what I said concerning himself and would not speak contrary to it. As you speak forth the words of faith, as he is, so am I in this world, unquote. Coupling your words with godly hope, which possesses the image, the transformation and the change into that image is wrought by my Spirit and not by the work of man. Good news, isn't it? We just accept the fact that Jesus lives in us and we no longer live, right? Whatever you lack, whatever you've been praying for, whatever you've been begging God for, remember, you don't have to do that. All you have to do is accept what God says you have and begin to confess it. Some people, you know from your own experience that some people pray all of their lives and never see the answers that they prayed for. It's because they're not expressing any faith. Just asking is not enough. It can be vain repetition, just asking, right? They're not expressing faith. You have to come to the place where you begin to see this gift as yours. What did Jesus say? He said, when you pray, believe you have received, and you shall have it, right? So that someplace you have to come to that point. He said, all things you pray and ask for to do this, everything to do this with. Why? Because it's all been given to us in Christ. Every lack that we have has been met by Jesus Christ, right? His nature. The transformation and the change into that image is wrought by my Spirit and not by the work of man. Enough, enough, says the Lord. Enough of religion. Enough. It has been enough. It is past time to cast off the doctrines of men who would speak in the place of God. This very day, my Spirit is circumcising from your heart the doctrine of men whose counsel has been darkened to say that the life of my Son is an image to be worshipped afar off and not to be appropriated, as we read in Ephesians 3 and 18, right? Worshipped afar off and not to be appropriated by every believer who calls upon his name. They do not find such counsel in my word. So true, as we've already read in Ephesians, is so true. And some people say it's not possible. And they see it as afar off. They see one day we'll be like him. But that's not what 1 John says, is it? In fact, I'll read that to you. Let me read that to you. 1 John chapter 3. Beloved, now are we the children of God. It's not yet made manifest what we shall be. In other words, we're not saying that we've already manifested perfection, but we do claim it, do we not? Remember what Paul said, as many as of us as are perfect. You know, in the same text, he was saying, not that I have manifested perfection, but as many of us as are perfect, that is by faith, right? So he goes on to say, we know that if he shall be manifested, we shall be like him, for we shall see him even as he is. And where is that talking about? The only way you can be like him is to see him as he is. In what? The mirror that Paul spoke about in 2 Corinthians 3 and 18. And verse 3 says, and everyone that hath this hope set on himself purifieth himself even as he is pure. Where? On this earth. And everyone that doeth sin doeth also lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested to take away sins, and in him is no sin. And whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Praise the Lord. We abide in him through our faith. And what does he overcome in us but that old life and that old nature? He gives it to us freely by his works and not by ours. Back to this prophecy, it says, they have chosen according to man's ways and man's reasonings. They have chosen the path of religion, which I cannot anoint with life. And they have chosen that path, which will never lead to dominion. Well, you know, what is the purpose of God manifesting Christ in us, except to manifest in this earth the dominion that he did through Christ? Not only the dominion over self and the dominion over sin, but the dominion over the curse around us, right? God says he can't anoint, he cannot give dominion to such people. They have chosen the path of religion instead of life. Hear them no more. Hearken to them no more. For their words are not the mind of the Father. As I have spoken unto you, wisdom is the image of Christ woven upon the tapestry of your spirit. Well, that's the foundation, is to have the Spirit of Christ. You know, if you've been born again, what the Spirit of Christ is. That life in you that desires to please God. That life in you that desires to walk in holiness. That life in you that desires that until you deny it. If you deny it and deny it and deny it, it will die. There's no doubt about it. And you'll have to be born again if you ever want to come back. But you can put to death the spiritual man as easily as you can put to death the carnal man. As I have spoken unto you, wisdom is the image of Christ woven upon the tapestry of your spirit. The speaking of my word weaves that image upon your spirit. The speaking of my word, the agreement with the word, with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Who is salvation? It's Jesus, right? Being saved is not just being saved from hell. It's being saved from the sinful nature that we were, being saved from sin, being saved from the dominion of the devil, being saved from the curse. Saved covers all of that. And so we speak the word, and it brings us this image of Christ, which is God's salvation. But by that method alone, the process of transformation is slow. Notice what he's saying. But only speaking the word is not enough, right? He said, I am instructing you this day to incorporate hope with all of your speaking. In other words, mix your speaking with hope, right? And as you incorporate hope of the image with the speaking of my word, the image of him whom I have provided is woven upon the tapestry of your spirit much more rapidly. In other words, don't just confess what the Bible says about you, but also meditate on it, think on it, see it as done in your mind and in your imagination. He says it will be done much more rapidly. Now, I agree with that 100%. We've said, you know, that your imagination is a vehicle that empowers your faith. It joins your spirit and joins your works together, right? You cannot possess a land that you cannot see. Neither can you possess a land that you see afar off if you deem it as not a part of your inheritance. See, that's the problem. The overwhelming majority of people who call themselves Christians do not believe that this is a part of their inheritance. Or else they believe something just as detrimental, that you can't have it until the next life. No, folks, we've been sown in the earth as a plant to bring forth fruit here. If you think it won't come till the next life, you have bought the biggest lie that will destroy you that the devil has to offer. Let me read this verse again. He says, you cannot possess a land that you cannot see. Neither can you possess a land that you see afar off. In other words, oh, that's in eternity. It's not down here, you know. If you deem it as not a part of your inheritance, it's now. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Understand this day and never forget, says the Lord, that his life is your inheritance. I desire that you possess that life to the full. And God truly does desire that. He truly desires that we would receive all of what Christ is. Isn't that something? We thought he might be holding that back from us. Well, our ignorance has held it back from us. And our rebellion has held us back from us. And our trusting in man has held it back from us. And all these things he's pointing out here. That's what's holding us back. The Lord wants to freely give us. He has chosen in these days to give more grace. You know? He says, you know, that Jesus will come to be glorified in his saints and marveled at in all them that believed, because our testimony unto you was believed in that day. And of course, that day is talking about this day. This is when God is going to do it. He's going to do what he provided for from the beginning. Behold, the land of his life that I have spread before you, says the Lord, behold it with your possessive hope that understands his life is your inheritance. Possess the land by faith as you go forth seeing and beholding his life, saying, as he is, so am I in this world. Notice, it's not as he was, it's as he is. You know, Jesus is a fully manifested Son of God. You know, when he was on this earth, he was Son of Man and Son of God. But flesh and blood does not inherit the kingdom of God. The old man had to die, and the new man had to fully take over. And he's saying to us here, as he is, so am I. He's telling us to confess this, as he is, so am I in this world. We confess the fullness of Christ here and now. That's how we get there. That's the medium by which we get there. How do we get from here to there? Well, we believe it. We believe it and we accept it. We accept that we are fully manifested sons of God. The Bible says you are sons of God through faith. But the creation's waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Well, how do we get from faith to manifestation? Faith is the method. Faith is, and how does he say faith is manifested in us? In twofold. In confessing and believing. Confessing and believing. And our imagination is part of that believing. If you can't imagine it, you can't come into it. Incorporate hope with all your saying, says the Spirit of Grace, and I will weave the image of Him whom the Father has provided upon the tapestry of your heart. In such rapid measure it shall astound you. Now, that's a good promise. God says He can do a quick work if we'll cooperate with Him in this, you see. This is the Father's plan. For this purpose, I have been sent. Few have known His mind, and few have understood His purpose in reseeding the earth with life. Oh boy, praise the Lord. The Father, in other words, the sons of God are going to be manifested in these days. He's reseeding the earth with life. The Father is restoring all things according to His original intent and purpose. After, I might add, a great falling away. There's been a great falling away because of religion. And so we have to fight against that in these days. Some people have idols. Religion, men, are idols. They're not willing to accept the Word of God just on its face value. They instead respect men. I mean, obviously they went to school, so we should trust in them, right? They have these initials behind their name, and we should trust in them. Well, that's throughout history, folks. That's the way God's people have been kept from the revelation of God. The people who are promoted over the carnal people of God by the world and by their religious institutions have kept God's people from understanding the truth. His intent and purpose is that all who name the name of Christ should walk as He walked, possessing the fullness of His life, which is their inheritance. Why would you fill your hope with images provided by man when I have provided for you the image of life itself? He who is life has come in the flesh that you may behold that life, that you may receive that life into yourself and appropriate it as a land to be possessed. For I have surely given it unto you, says your Father. Oh, it's so true, so true. I mean, this just makes it a rest, doesn't it? We can just enter into His rest because He's already given it to us. It's not struggling, it's not striving, it's not our works, you know. It's been given unto us. Have not I said, thou shalt not have graven images before thee? A graven image is that which has the mark of man upon it. A graven image is an image that's created by the works of man, by the tools of man, the man-made tools of man, you see. So guess what a graven image can be? It can be a false Jesus that's made by man. False image that's made by man. I have provided the image which has the mark of God upon it. Behold, the image of life. Who is Christ come in the flesh? Behold Him. Behold the image I have provided, says the Lord. Fill your hope with that image. So there is a mark of man, and there is a mark of God. And some very religious people have the mark of man. They have the mark of the beast, because Solomon said every man is as a beast, right? They have the mark of the beast instead of the mark of Christ. You know those people who persecuted the prophets? Jesus, His disciples? They were all very religious people, but they were members of the beast. And it was proven by their actions towards the sons of God. And it will be in these days too. They're very religious people, but they're very lost people. They claim to know Christ, but their actions disprove that. He says, fill your mouth with my word that says His life is yours, and you shall surely possess the height and the depth and the length and the breadth of His life. For I have given you to have life in yourself as I gave to Him to have life in Himself. Ah, that's John chapter 5 or 6, I think. Yep, that's so true. I mean, we have to claim that life is our life. Possess the life of Christ, for His life is your promised land to be inherited. His life is your land of inheritance to be possessed. My children have become so accustomed to affliction, to mourning, to hopelessness, that on those occasions when they have received the smallest measure of joy and peace from my spirit. They have tended to camp there and set up monument stones by writing books giving testimony, as though they had received the fullness of my measure of grace to them. How sad, how sad, how my heart grieves over the smallness of the heart of their Father in their sight. In other words, they've got a little God, you know, a little God. And, you know, lots of religious people have camped out at a certain plateau thinking they've got all they're going to get of God. In fact, they've been told that by a lot of their preachers. If they've received the doctrine, if they believe what their religion believes, well, then they've got what they need from God. That's all. That's all there is. And if you, of course, try to go beyond that, they get very offended. If you try to go on in your revelation of God, they get very offended. And it's, of course, that spirit of religion in them that doesn't want you to go on. You know, demon spirits control religion. Religious spirits control religion. You know, the devil, if he can't stop you from having any of Christ in the first place, he wants to hinder you from going on, doesn't he? And so he tries to trap you into one of these dead religions that bears no fruit. And the Father is saying, pay no attention to them. You know, have your personal relationship with the Lord Himself through the Word of God. Go find out what God has to say about it. Don't trust the Bible schools. They've never been right. Never been right. Don't trust the leaders that the Bible schools turn out. They've never been right. They fought against God from the beginning. I intend for my children to possess continents of joy and oceans of peace. Did not my son say that his joy was to be in you? Did not my son say that his peace was to be your peace? The land of inheritance is vast, enormous, beyond the capacity of the carnal mind to comprehend. But I have set this life to be inherited before you in the image of my Son, that you may behold his glory, and with possessive hope and words of faith possess the land, as my spirit drives out every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Wow, great promises, huh? Nothing contrary to the Word, though. It's exactly what the Word has been teaching us.
For information, materials, and to contribute, go to www.americaslastdays.com. Contributions only may be addressed to David Eales, Post Office Box 23, 1616, Montgomery, Alabama, 36123.